Hello, everybody. Hello, masters of your own destiny. Welcome back to my basement. Thank you for being back with me. Really, I mean, it's because of your company that we put the love, the effort, and the care to produce a good quality podcast, especially for you. For those people out there that are in love with everything that have to do with communication, media, and the arts. Talking about conversation with experts in those fields, from cinematographers, production designers, set designers, musicians, songwriters, music video directors, we all have it here in the basement. If you are new, of course, you can find us in all the podcast platforms, stream platforms like Apple Podcasts and Spotify, but you can also visit us at our home, fsbasement.com, where you can have access to the entire library of past episodes in audio and in video, really cool educational tools. Again, fsbasement.com. And please remember to subscribe to any of our social platforms and our YouTube channel. I want to thank, like I always do, WCNY PBS in Central New York for the partnership. It's thanks to that partnership that we can come to you every other week. And of course, Central New York Arts, our new and more caring partner in this adventure called for Suarez Basement. So thank you, WCNY PBS in Central New York and Central New York Arts for the trust. Really, really thank you. And today, it's really cool because we are in pair, meaning we have two guests instead of one. We're going to be talking with the Stonefish brothers directly from LA. They are the founders of the Stonefish Studios, where they produce an amazing amount of great content, visual storytelling content from music videos, songwriting, you name it. And of course, they are the founders of the Art of Syracuse nonprofit organization that intend to promote art amongst kids in Central New York area. So I cannot wait to start this conversation with the Stonefish brothers. Thank you for tuning in. This is a new episode of From Suarez Basement. Here we go. I want to welcome you to my basement. I know it's not the right place maybe to meet, but this is excited to have you and connect with you from my basement. Thank you for taking the time to be with us.
We're so happy to be here. Thank you for having us.
No, it's a pleasure. It's such a cool to have you here. Listen, I interview many people from behind the scenes of television and film, from cinematographers and directors and musicians, you name it. But you guys are like the big deal in the sense that you seem to have all the package of what this podcast is all about. This podcast is about art, about promoting visual storytelling, is about promoting music and art in general. You are both very artistic or very involved in art. You have Emmy Award winning as a songwriter. You are a music producer. You are video director and you name it. I mean, we can mention all the projects that you are involved are really, really cool. And I know I want to start with a very kind of philosophical question, but I thought like, oh my God, I think this is the right question to start. For the two of you, before I ask you how do you got met and I ask you, of course, about Stonefish Studios, what is art in a very simple definition and how important is art to develop the well-being of a society?
What a question. Oh my really? Word. What is art? Wow.
Really and kicking us off strong about. Here.
Yeah.
you know, Huey and I have talked. Oh, go ahead, Huey.
No, please, Avery.
Well, we've talked a lot about what is art and what is creativity, and especially in the context of our father. And Huey and I are brothers, so we have the same father. And our father is incredibly creative, but he doesn't consider himself an artist. But the way that he manifests his creativity is through gardening, through creative little poker moves that he likes to play. And from my perspective, art is creation. So whenever you're creating something that wasn't created there, you know, I used to be an innovation consultant, and I would say that the creativity that I used in creating new products and services for my clients, in a way, was art.
Mm-hmm. I agree very much. I mean, to jump on, you know, the my father example, it's like he would tell you he's not an artist. And then you would look at the beautiful bird garden that he had made where he had carefully sculpted trees and planted bushes and flowers. And he would say, oh, it's just gardening. I'm just trying to get birds in the backyard. And then you look at it and it's like a beautiful gardening landscape masterpiece. So for us, there's a saying that I learned in college about poetry, which is poetry is that which is lost in translation. I mean, the poetry is the beauty of the words and the language. And then even when you translate it, it doesn't mean the same thing. So for us, art takes so many different shapes and forms. And I'm sure we'll talk about our nonprofit, but that's a huge leading ideological movement in our nonprofit is getting the students to see themselves as artists. Mm-hmm. And that could mean you're an engineer and you're an artist with math. So art to us means so many things.
And how do you think how important is what you guys do, again, art in general, what we do as visual storytellers and musicians and painters? And why art is so important to society? What is the benefit that you see in your own work?
That's a great question, Francisco. And as someone who is a full-time professional artist, both of us in our own ways and in the same ways, sometimes I wonder that same thing myself. And then I think about going through a hard time at 16 and listening to my favorite album. I think about, you know, some of the, when I'm older, in my late 20s and some of the struggles and the my deep gratitude that I found through some of my most painful moments for music. Mm. And that is something that's happened later in my life is a profound gratitude just for music itself, for existing, for my connection to it, for my ability to manipulate it and understand it, and how that has literally gotten me through so many times in my life. And I know with my own music, with my comedy band, whatever the case may be, we get messages all the time and people tell us in person, something terrible was happening in my life. I almost did X, Y, and Z, and then I heard your song. Mm. And that helped me feel seen. It helped me feel heard. It helped me know that I'm not alone in this. So even though art is often the first thing that gets cut when money gets tight, and even though there's so many people that believe, you know, art might not be necessary, especially when we're able to expand our idea of what art is and able to move it past what it might be at its surface level, art is so important.
Mm. Mm. And I agree in the sense that art is creation, right? The thing is that we live in a society where the concept of being an artist or is so devalued, right? It's like if I say to my father, listen, I want to become a film director / producer, for him sounds much better than say I want to be an artist. And for some reason it's like, what do you mean? How are you going to pay your bills? Right? So we try to define artists in different ways, but like you were just explaining, it's about the process of creating. Creating something, right? And in this case, you guys are being able to create art by different process, from songwriting to music direction, and of course, your nonprofit, which I think is very important to talk about it. So tell me a little bit your connection. Of course, you guys are brothers. You have been working together for many, many years. Where that artistic vein, that artistic involvement came from your parents? How do you guys decide this is something that we really love to do with our life?
Okay, I can answer that, Avery, unless you want to take a stab at it. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, my phone just ran out of storage.
Don't worry.
So I was taking a video here and it ran out of storage.
Don't worry.
Would you like
me?
I can delete some stuff and do the storage, but I just want to. It's okay. Should I just put it down? I'll just put it down. Okay, yeah. Huey, please.
While we're talking about the second phone thing, listen, I'm wearing shorts right now and I just tried to cross my legs. It got caught in my second camera. So while we're talking about the second angle, don't use that one moment where I crossed my legs. Thank you.
You shouldn't tell me that, because now I'm going to use
it. He's going to be looking for it.
Yeah, exactly. My knees. Best knees on the internet. You know, we I'll speak for myself, but I think Avery will agree with what I'm going to say, which is we come from a very supportive family. And, you know, much to our point before of, you know, our father, our mother, I think, thought of herself more as an artist. They're both my mother's a university professor. They're both therapists. And I would say that they had a strong, throughout my life, I have felt a strong support for the arts. My uncle, our uncle, is my musical mentor. He's a professional musician. He's an Emmy Award winning composer, actually. And he was my musical mentor. So I think that in our family, we were very academically oriented. That was very important for our family. And we were, anything that we were passionate about, we had to do it to the most extent. So when it became that I was interested in music, it was like, all right, bro, you're interested in music. Well, then you're going to be doing a lot of music. And so I think if I had been interested in, you know, I've used engineering a lot, they would have said, well, then you got to do it to the most extent. So I think we've had that support. And especially as I've gotten older, I think the support has even come more as our parents have seen the drive and the power and seen what it can do. And yeah.
Yeah, I had a different relationship with art in my childhood. I was not, didn't consider myself an artist until like, I mean, I still struggle to consider myself an artist. I mean, I have to tell myself over and over again. The other day I came back from a huge trip, a huge successful video production trip. And I had to tell myself over and over again, Avery, you are an activist and a video producer. That's literally what you do for your life. Like, you are these things. I never really considered myself an artist when I was growing up. I was in all the musicals and I was in an a cappella group in college and I did art, but I never, that was never my first identity. But I had Huey, especially in the context of having Huey, who spent so much time and energy and effort and practicing and passion creating art and being an artist and being supported through the arts, and also seeing how much support he needed to give himself and how much was there, but also was needed. And I never really considered myself an artist. And then I went to college and I studied communications and marketing. And I was an innovation consultant and I worked at a nonprofit for 5 years in Chicago. And it wasn't really until after years of discussion that I moved to LA, and I say discussion
badgeringly. Badgering. Badgering from his older brother. Constant badgering of him moving to LA.
And finally, you know, I did move to LA and we started this production company together and we started a nonprofit together. And now I make videos that are being seen by millions of people, and I am involved in videos that are making huge impact, and it is art that I have created. And it's like, okay, it is undeniable. It is undeniable who I am.
It is so cool. I love it. At first, I can see just through the passion and love that you have for art, but also this conversation. First, how I'm sure, I mean, I love my brother very much and we have a great relationship, but I can see that you guys really have a very special relationship. And it cannot be that easy to work together, right? Because even when you both are in the artistic field, you both have different ways of thinking, right? Yes. But I can see that there is a love there, not only for each other, but also for the art. So you move to LA and you create this company, which is called Stonefish Studios. Tell me a little bit about that process and what exactly you guys work with.
Yeah, so originally, actually, Stonefish Studios started because Huey had done years at Second City cultivating this improv training expertise, and we wanted to create something together. And so we built an improv training online education company. And we did that for a while, and the passion wasn't really there from either of us, and we sort of decided to shift. And now Stonefish Studios is really a full-fledged production company where our focus right now is about documenting the changing face of American business. So we work with organizations like the Women's Business Collaborative, who are giving an award, a Trailblazer Award in gender equity and diversity, and we're making videos for them to highlight these awards and do a marketing videos for them. And we also produce events. And for us, you know, we have the production company that we started together that, you know, the goal is really about supporting these nonprofits, but also, you know, it is a for-profit organization. But then we also started the Arts Project Syracuse together too, which is a nonprofit bringing arts education to kids where we grew up.
That's what my other question was. What is your connection with Central New York? Because you guys, and I love it because, well, I'm in Central New York. This is a podcast that is created in a basement in Central New York. So in that case, it's cool that we all have that connection, right? What is that connection that you have with Central New York, specifically to the arts projects in Syracuse?
So we grew up in a suburb of Syracuse. So I grew up, I went to James Will DeWitt High School, for people who are listening from the local area, Red Rams. Avery, when I graduated, they moved a little bit further. So Avery ended up going to high school in Casanova. And, you know, I'll speak for myself. Growing up, I had a lot of artistic opportunity. I was in a band in high school. I was playing shows like every weekend. We were going into the city. We were playing all around. I had so many different opportunities. The high school, musical programs, theater, you name it, I was doing it. And for us, we left town. You know, I went to school. I went to Berklee College of Music. And as I got further away, I started to learn more and more about Syracuse and understanding that while I was having the artistic experience of a lifetime as a youth, that there were students who were literally 5-10 minutes away from where I grew up, who the city was so impoverished that they weren't able to get access to the same arts education. And of course, the same lots of things that you get from being in a suburb of Syracuse versus being in the city. We put our brains together, and we can talk about that whole process. It was quite involved to create tangible change in the city of Syracuse. And that's where the nonprofit was born from.
Well, you talk about the way that we collaborate. Go ahead. Well, just this, the creation of the Arts Project Syracuse is a perfect example of how Huey and I work together well, because Huey is a visionary. Huey is like this, and it's something I love and respect about Huey, is that Huey has grand passions and grand dreams that he will commit his entire self to pursuing. And it's something I admire, because I don't see that as much in myself. So it's great for me, because I get to just pursue Huey's passions with him, and I support him and love his vision. So I'm like, yes, I do want to help you to pursue this. What I'm really good at is taking that grand vision and making it actionable, breaking it down into steps and figuring out where can we actually do the tangible nature of this grand dream that you have. So with the Arts Project Syracuse, Huey wanted to support kids in Syracuse, bring them arts education. I mean, it was a beautiful vision. And the original idea was, we'll buy a space, we'll buy up all the computers, we'll buy this and that. And then I came in and said, okay, well, what if we start by partnering with an organization that has the kids there and has the computers, and then we can come in with our expertise with the arts education and actually make that tangible change. So that's what we did. We started with the Boys and Girls Club, and now we've since expanded to the Boys and Girls Club and the YWCA in Syracuse, and we have a teacher going in once a week to each of those locations.
That is so cool. I love it. Listen, that's it, true. I mean, the thing is that I think in Syracuse, we tend to live in our own bubbles. Well, not in Syracuse. I think in general, as humans, we tend to live in our own bubbles, and we don't see beyond our own walls. This is an area that have a lot of poverty and you know, struggle, economic struggle for many kids in the Syracuse City School District. So what you're doing is a very important piece of the puzzle, because I always say, as long as you are exposed to that process, you can pursue it. You know, it's not only about dreaming about becoming a TV director or whatever it is, a musician, but if you can give them the tools and expose them to that reality, that is what it makes it different. And that's what you guys are doing with the our projects here in Syracuse, is allowing these kids to have that exposure. And with that exposure, then hopefully it will come the pursuit of a career. So we really appreciate the work that you guys are doing. How it works, tell me a little bit, what is the next projects that you guys have here in Central New York with the nonprofit? Are you planning to expand? What is exactly the plans that you have ahead?
Well, you're hitting the nail on the head with exposure. We actually are in partnership with CNY Arts right now to bring an exposure to the arts curriculum to the kids at the Boys and Girls Club and the YWCA. So that's our big focus for this year, is exposing these kids to all the vast art that exists: African dance and drumming, but also singing and painting and drawing. And I actually just had a call that I haven't even told Huey about yet, but someone called me this morning who runs a DJ business where she trains DJs, and she trains her youngest DJ is 8 years old, and she wants to work and help out. So, you know, that's really exciting as it relates to TAPS.
That's great. That's wonderful, Avery. I got a DM from her and I was like, oh no, I need to message Avery about this. And then I forgot. And look at that. Avery already had a phone call with her. So that's perfect. Yeah, we have a lot of big plans for TAPS. We did a partnership with NASA this year where they sent comic books to the kids. The kids made art inspired by astronauts. And again, that relates to what is the definition of art. Typically, most people, myself included, wouldn't think an astronaut is an artist. Mm-hmm. But there are so many different artistic principles that go into being an astronaut. So that's just another exposure. And the goal is to give the students a life enriched by the arts mm-hmm. and for them to see themselves as artists, as opposed to you need to grow up and become a professional painter. No, you need to grow up and learn to have a life enriched by art. So whatever you do, your life can be that much more fulfilling. We want to create a citywide choral program. We want to expand our offerings. There's so much that we want to do. And truly, we've been so blessed to have support from the Syracuse community, from an international community of people. So the possibilities for us are really limitless and endless. And we've just been so blessed by support from so many different organizations and people that we know our offerings will continue to grow and expand.
Tell me a little how we can contribute, because I think the cool part is that we're having this conversation and, you know, a lot of the listeners will be interested to say, you know, I support the arts. I think this is a very good way to go, especially because I live in Central New York and I want to support something that is local. So how they can connect to you and how it works, the process of donating to this nonprofit.
Yeah, thank
Avery,
you so
I'm gonna
much.
Let you take this, but I'm just going to jump in really quick to just say one thing before I hand it over to you, Avery, which is we get a lot of messages from people who want to offer their support, and we are so grateful for all those messages. Something that we always keep at the forefront of our mind is their children that we have been entrusted with, and their safety and security and mental health is at the top of our priority list. So when people offer to help, money, bringing things to the students, donations, offering ways of support is so much more helpful, generally speaking, to us than we also get a lot of messages. I want to go help the kids. I want to go teach them to paint one day. That's less helpful for us than someone offering different things. And then Avery, I'm sure you'll have even more concrete stuff to say.
Yeah. So you can find more information about the Arts Project Syracuse at tapsny.com, at tapsny.com. And there you can find out a little bit more about what we do. You can actually see a music video that we shot with the kids at the Boys and Girls Club and the Syracuse Hebrew Day School. That's off of Huey's album that's coming out soon called Down, Down, Down. That's all in support of the Arts Project Syracuse. And you can also see ways to donate online. So that's tapsny.com. And we really appreciate the support of the community.
Wow, this is fantastic, guys. Like I would say, you know, very much in my podcast, I could be here the whole day talking to you. I just need my coffee for sure in some point. But more than that, this is such a refreshing conversation and that I could be here the whole day. Unfortunately, the podcast is limited to a specific amount of time. Just to close a little bit, I want to Avery, pick your brain a little bit about music videos. And here's the reason why. Hopefully, we will be collaborating, the three of us and other students, in something really cool that we are cooking in the kitchen. But I'm a big fan of music videos as a storyteller. Because a lot of my production classes, video production classes, normally the final project is for the students to create their own music videos. I tried for them to pick artists that are overcoming artists that are not necessarily, you know, this huge pop star. I want them to discover artists that hopefully would benefit from the actual music video that they're producing. So tell me a little bit about your connection with music video. What have you been working? I know in the past you've been working with quite big, and how is that process? Meaning like how I always very interested in the creative aspect of it. How it starts, you create a storyboard, you listen to the music. The artists say, I don't want something literal. That's one of the things that I say to my students a lot is like, you don't need to create music videos that are literal to the lyrics. I mean, I open a can of wounds and the students want a can and, you know, like that. So how that creative process work for you?
Yeah, well, I have the unique joy of being able to see music videos across a wide spectrum of size of artists. So I've worked with BTS on a music video that in 24 hours got 100 million views with Anderson .Paak. And that video, I was a cog in the machine. So I drove a big old van out into the desert sand dunes, offloaded my gear after getting this van literally stuck twice in the sand before even arriving to set, offloaded the gear, and I was playing one small role among 150 people on set. And it was really cool to see there's five cameras shooting, and I'm the one who's making sure that the director can see what all the cameras are seeing and routing all of those cameras to one computer and then routing that out to the director. And I've worked with Huey's comedy band, Lueberger. I've DP'd and actually held the camera on some of those music videos, and I've also done some behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And then with Huey's individual artist, individual album, I actually directed and we together wrote out the concept for these music videos, shot them, and then I edited them. And when it comes to these smaller productions, one thing that I think is really beautiful and inspiring to see is the relationship between how much time goes into planning versus how much time goes into actually doing the shooting of the video. Because mm-hmm. In some ways, there's only so much planning that can happen. You listen to the song, you get a sense for the song, you write out the storyboard, you make sure you have a sense for how it's going to look. You sort of theorize, this is the concept. So I'll give a great example from New York State Fair, which is one of the songs off of Huey's album. We had a half of a verse we knew was going to happen in, I think the storyboard idea was like a mystical forest. Mm-hmm. Huey, was that the right word?
Yeah, I think so.
Mystical forest. And then it's like, okay, well, we know we're going to be in Syracuse. So we'll just find a mystical forest and we'll have Huey coming out of the mystical trees and somehow we'll make it seem like a mystical forest. So that's pre-production. Mm-hmm. And then in the production world, we had the fun full day adventure of, okay, today we're going to shoot the mystical forest. Well, we got to find where that location is. We got to find how to mystify it up. We ended up taking artwork from inside of our parents' house, bringing it outside and hanging it up on trees, mm-hmm. and literally having set decking a forest to be this mystical forest that Huey, Jessica, and I created. So it's beautiful. I mean, there's a lot of opportunities for set decking, for creativity, right, especially in these smaller productions. And then, you know, what's so fun about the life that I lead is that I get to go see a BTS music video or Vince Staples music video, see how the professionals are doing it, and then take little inklings of that and bring it back to our small productions too.
That is so cool. For me, everything that I have to do is the make-believe. I call it the make-believe world. It's fascinated to me, right? The idea that mystical forest didn't exist, but we need to figure out how to make it feel that it's real. So I think that's the coolest thing ever. Guys, I don't have more words than thank you for your time. I'm really, really rooting for your careers. Both of you are doing fantastic, but also for this friendship and these collaborations that we're going to be able to do together. I think it's going to be very beneficial for our students, and I only wish you the best.
Francisco, thank you so much for having us. We're so honored to be here. We appreciate being on this podcast, you hearing all of what we do, and we look forward to connecting with you and also with your students and the community even more.
Yes, for thank sure. you so much. We're excited about the future together. Yeah,